The Europe Report with Kanan Lipschitz.
Kanan, good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Great. How are things?
It's great. This side, we seem to be going into another cold spell in Johannesburg. Just after we thought we'd come out of winter, it seems like the cold weather's back. But more importantly, how are things in Europe? And tell us more about this Norwegian imam who's making these terribly inflammatory remarks.
Right. This is a case of the shoemaker walking around barefoot. Nur Ahmed Nur was the go-to guy in terms of interfaith dialogue with the Protestant church in Norway. He lived in a town not far from Oslo, and he had made an excellent bond with a local reverend and received ministers and politicians and even visitors, and was kind of a model for how interfaith dialogue should happen, until it emerged that this man, while he was having these tea drinking discussions, was a blatant anti-Semite who wrote that the Jews must be killed, you know, and that they are a danger to the world, and that's why they need to be killed. Now, this was exposed by a local journalist of the Fartland, a right-wing newspaper in Norway. And initially, this chapter of the incident is telling, but the reaction was just as telling. Initially, when this information came out in Norway, where there is a stronghold of the left wing and a determination to go on with the multicultural experiment, the first reaction of this reverend, Reverend Ivar, was to say, oh, well, that's normal. You have differences when you engage in dialogue, and that just demonstrates how much more dialogue we need with people like Nur Ahmed Nur to bridge the differences. But that line did not hold very long, as more information was gathered to demonstrate that Nur Ahmed Nur was serial purveyor of anti-Semitic hate. Eventually, even the staunchest advocates of dialogue, including Reverend Ivar, had to concede that this man is beyond the pale. And Reverend Ivar eventually thanked the Fartland journalist for exposing this, and also called for a thorough check of the organization that Nur Ahmed Nur was heading, to see just how far this sort of hatred had trickled down. So this is a case, this is indicative of a number of things going on in Western Europe. First of all, that there's a strong tendency to not recognize that many Muslim leaders speak with two tongues and have two faces. One, a pro-dialogue face to the world, and the other is how they preach in their own communities. And the second is that sort of problem in recognizing reality is actually being resolved by the pressure of public opinion, because this is no longer tenable in many cases.
Kanan, there's too many double-dealing two-faces out there, and it's something that needs to be addressed, because we're living in the so-called woke era, and we need to be able to fact-check and not just rely on the media, but do our own research and find out what's going on, especially when somebody's in the public eye. Moving on, I see that 18 Orthodox Jewish girls were taken off an Amsterdam to New York flight because of a COVID protocol dispute. Tell us a little bit more about what happened there.
Well, it's more of a food fight, really. the poor girls were hungry on a layover from Ukraine to New York. And they were hungry because the food on the – so they felt like they couldn't really consume it. And so they had their own food that local Jews, Haredi Jews, delivered to them at the airport. And they felt that since they cannot eat the food that doesn't have Badat's certification on the flight, well, they shouldn't be bound to the eating times, designated eating times, except the designated eating times are measures taken by Delta and KLM to reduce the window of possible infection. And so they ended up, because they didn't observe the designated lunch or meal times, they ended up defying crew in terms of COVID measures. And the harsh reaction of KLM was to just call police, and not just any police, the Marechaussee, the top elite units, the SWAPS team of the Netherlands, to remove all the passengers from that flight on a Friday afternoon and evacuate the airplane and hold those 18 girls back and then readmit the remaining passengers. Now, that left them in a serious bind, because the only way to continue was to pay 3,000 euros and another ticket, a fine and another ticket, which of course they didn't have. And it was Shabbat. Shabbat was approaching. It was hours before Shabbat. So, of course, they didn't do it. And local lawyers, Herman Lohnstein, volunteered to represent the pro bono with KLM. So they will eventually be able to go on to New York. But they had to spend Shabbat in Antwerp, where there is a large Orthodox community that can feed them. There they were celebrated as women or girls of principle. And other parts of the Jewish community in the Netherlands and Belgium cringed at the fact that they just amplified this stereotype of Haredi Jews not observing COVID protocol. So that kind of ran along the community lines, underlining the divisions within our own specific group.
Unbelievable. Kenan Lifshitz, thank you so much for joining us today. You'll be back same time next week, and then I'll be joining you again the following week on the 25th. That was Kenan Lifshitz, direct from Europe with the Europe Report.